When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
When you hear the word cowboy, what do you think of? John Wayne or Roy Rogers? The internationally acclaimed football players of the Dallas Cowboys? A crowded bar of a honky-tonk? Today we are exploring cowboy culture, where it's been and where it is today. Meet you at the table.
I'm Lainey. And I'm Laura Beth. And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia. We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair.
Welcome back, y'all. We're here at the table.
Yep.
Go figure. And speaking of tables, I'll go ahead and thank our wonderful sponsor for this episode. Big thank you to Tennessee Woodworks, the handcrafter of custom farmhouse style furniture. Now, we've mentioned them another time on this podcast before, and we were talking about some of the unique furniture selections that they offer for every room.
Every room of your home.
So, today I wanted to just specifically mention that they have butcher block cutting boards that are made with beautiful hard maple and walnut that's sourced locally right here in Nashville, where we are.
So cool.
It's a great addition to your kitchen for everyday use. I will say I received a butcher block cutting board as a wedding gift, and it was a very big treat for my kitchen.
That is a fabulous wedding gift.
As a new bride.
That's a fabulous wedding gift.
Whether you've seen somebody register for one of those or not, that is a fabulous wedding gift. Or any sort of large occasion. Or maybe a milestone birthday, or if you're just wanting to really bless somebody. So I would encourage you guys to check those out.
Every kitchen needs one.
We got to touch and feel it, and it just felt so smooth. It had that sealant on it that was just so good for the wood.
Yeah. And I love how he does like a, is it branded with his Tennessee Woodworks on the bottom? It looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to check them out, you can find them at TennesseeWoodworks.com. And if you are in the Nashville area, you can even schedule a free in-home consultation with them, and they'll come check out what your needs are in your home.
Do all the measurements and all that jazz.
Yes. Okay, we are talking about cowboy culture today.
Fresh on our minds.
We got schooled because we've been in Texas, y'all. So, I mean, I want to give just like a very, very little background. How did cows get in Texas?
Can I start way back? Yeah.
So this is going to be super brief, but the Spaniards brought cows to Mexico in the early 1500s.
Okay.
And they grew, like, majorly, repopulated. And
leave them alone and they will repopulate.
They did what they were made to do, right? And so cattle drives started in the mid-1800s, where cattle was being driven all around to places where it was needed. They were just naturally, you know, migrating to different areas. And thus the cowboy was born.
Somebody's got to move them where you need them.
Yeah. And so I think you can really just describe the most basic of terms as a cowboy or a cowgirl as one who herds cattle from a horse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really kind of, you know, there's rodeos and there's sort of more expansive tricks and trades and things that, you know, would maybe more include ranchers and a broader sort of view of it. But at the most simple of it, it's moving cattle from a horse.
Well, and that's, it's athletic.
For sure.
You know,
I
was really just amazed at how schooled we got when we made our trip to Texas, too. But I was also so pleasantly surprised to see how diverse cowboys were and are.
True.
I guess when you think about some of the famous ones from the movies.
That's what it is. It's the movies that made us skewed, right?
Skewed with the white guy.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of them were, you know, Hispanic and Black. And so very diverse group of people were cowboys. And cowgirls.
I want to talk a little bit more about that later. This is funny, though. Did you know that, we're obviously focused on Southern culture, so we're talking about cowboys of the Southeast or Southwest United States. But in Britain, they refer to a cowboy as somebody who's reckless or careless.
Okay.
Especially when driving an automobile.
Oh, that's funny.
So we're not talking about just reckless people today.
No.
I knew y'all knew that, but I just
didn't.
Well,
the British, you know, they have their own way of, you know, riding a horse. It's all together.
It's all
different.
For sure. But I just think that's so funny that we speak the same language, but yet across the pond, there are some differences in
so many
sort of our urban or slang vocabulary. So. Well, where shall we start?
Well, I guess one of the broad statements that I felt like I needed to make was just that cowboy culture comes from a lifestyle of ranch living and working.
Yeah.
And they are workers.
Workers. Yeah. Yeah. Like real hard workers up before the sun.
Yeah.
Using every muscle and part of their body to labor. Yeah.
That's right. And I feel like it, you know, cowboy culture is, it just touches everything. It touches their fashion. It touches their decor in their homes, their lingo.
Yeah.
The way they cook food. It's like so many different things that it touches.
Yeah.
So this is just a little broad scope.
Yeah.
Touch of that.
And then like when you think of lifestyle, back to your mention of movies, there's some stereotypes that were really branded in to the minds of us Americans of what that lifestyle is as a cowboy, which would be like heavy drinking, gambling, quick to fight, staying single.
That's
like
so true. Just, like you're, as you're saying that, I'm like, yes. And I didn't even think about that even when we were down there, but yeah.
Like kind of a renegade that like you probably like the boy in high school that your parents hope that you don't have a crush on, you know, right? Like that's kind of how a cowboy was painted, I feel like, in the movies. But that's just a stereotype that happens with Hollywood films. So should we talk about, like, some of the vocabulary?
Sure.
There's
a lot of it.
Well, and there's even, I'll start with maybe the actual cattle drive, because that's what we said, is this is movement of cattle on horseback. But there is like an actual formation that men and women on horseback put the herd in. And I didn't know like any of these words.
Okay, so this is funny. Before you even get into it, I have already since our trip to Texas been noticing words that I saw there. Like I saw a car and it had lariat on it, which is a horse word.
Okay.
But just some different. Yeah, you know, I was thinking, it seems like there's a lot in cars, Bronco and Wrangler.
I was going to say, Wrangler's the only one on this list of the cattle drive positions that I've ever heard. So, well, the first up is the trail boss. They are right up in the front. They are the ones that determined the route, and they keep an eye out for trouble ahead. So they're the trail boss.
All right.
Pretty straightforward. There is a point that is up at the front, but it's on both sides. They guided the cattle in the right direction. There's a swing, which is in the middle, but again, on both sides. And they assist the points that are right in front of them. The flank, which is really towards more of the back.
and they kept the middle intact. So it's kind of like just keep making sure the people in front of you are doing what they're supposed to do. There's a drag in the back. They help push the slower cattle, give them a little scooch, scooch.
Okay.
And the, I think you say it, remuda is in the back, and it's a whole set of horses that are a replacement set of the horses for the drovers. So they're just kind of like there on as needed.
Okay.
If needed. And then the wrangler is at the very back of the herd, and they just kind of oversee those remuda, the replacement set of horses.
Well,
so
okay.
Those were just, that's kind of the formation of how they keep the herd intact when they're traveling and moving them around. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
That's
all those
very
different
interesting
vocab words.
Well, I found some vocab words too. You mentioned drover. Did you say what his role is?
No.
What's okay. The, well, that's just one who drives cattle. So
yes.
Maybe all of those could be.
Yes, that's true. Know. That's true. Know.
But there's lots of words for different words for different meanings in horses and cattle too.
Mm-hmm.
So like an unbroken horse is a bronc.
Okay. Hence the name Bronco.
Or Bronco, I guess.
Can picture the horse that's
kind of wild.
Yeah.
And a Mustang is a wild horse. So I don't know the difference
true.
In the two, but there's another.
Makes for good
car
names.
Yeah. A maverick is a stray, an unbranded calf.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, they had to brand them because, well, first of all, there wasn't always barbed wire and all of that. Like,
yeah.
To keep them in pens. So when they got out, you needed to know whose was whose and all that. So
yeah.
That's why they did all the branding.
Say the definition of Maverick again real quick.
A stray, unbranded calf.
I just have Top Gun Maverick still in my mind. And I'm like, he kind of was, wasn't he? He's kind of a stray, kind of. Anyway.
I had mentioned a bronc, an unbroken horse. A broke is a horse that's gentle and ready to ride. So
okay.
That kind of makes sense. Like they're broke.
Uh-huh.
They've
for
broken
sure.
in.
Broken in, yeah.
A catch pen, that's the corral for holding the cattle or horses.
Okay.
I think you say it doggy. Doggy, like, or I've heard, like, get along, little doggy.
Oh.
That's an orphaned calf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got lots more, but anyway, let's go keep going and maybe some of these words will come up.
Well, I think we've probably said it on here before that a huge piece of culture, of any culture, is the music of that culture. And so I want to make sure we just at least acknowledge that country music, Western music, and all the variations and offshoots of that play a role in cowboy culture. But I wanted to introduce our listeners to our new friend, who is a cowgirl poet. So we're going to introduce you to our friend Teresa Burleson of Fort Worth. She's an award-winning poet whose poems are inspired by her personal experiences, her heritage, and the Western way of life. We met her as she was working at the Stockyard Museum in Fort Worth, and she was decked out in a cowboy hat and a big belt buckle, and she shared some of her poems with us, and we wanted to share one with y'all because this is a very unique part of cowboy culture. So this poem here is called The Herd.
Back when cowboys were prince of the prairie and longhorn cattle were king, the cattle drives came through Fort Worth, and it started in the spring around 1867 when there were no fences or rails. They pointed them north to Kansas, headed for the Chisholm Trail. Now many books were written and many a movie made about this time in history that was less than two decades. The drovers were all creeds and colors, cowboys and men that were tough, because the longhorns were wild and woolly, and life on the trail was rough. A perilous journey, riding herd over 2,500 cattle, these brave young men would spend up to 100 days in the saddle. In the end, 5 million were driven up to the Kansas railhead, then put on trains and taken east so those folks could be fed. It is a proud Texas legacy of determination and grit, and the Fort Worth herd was created, immortalizing it. Each day, twice a day, people gather to see the cattle drive. It's a unique way that Fort Worth keeps our heritage alive. The only city with a longhorn herd wearing the FW brand. representing the men and cattle that trekked across this land. These drovers and horses carry the essence of those that rode before. As they herd those steers down the street, the legend lives once more. And every Longhorn steer that walks the bricks of East Exchange carries the spirit of those that once trod upon the Texas range. So come on down to Cowtown and have your inner cowboy stirred. We guarantee you'll never forget once you've seen the Fort Worth herd.
So I just thought it was super interesting that poetry, a format that's sometimes flowery and full of symbolism and describing love and just different scenarios that are so contrast to what I would consider rough ranch life and the hardworking cowboys and cowgirls that are out there. So Teresa has so many good poems out there. We're going to link to her in our show notes so that you guys can listen to more. And on another note, there is a huge piece of cowboy culture that includes their faith. And I wanted to mention something that I've been learning more about, which is cowboy church. So this is not new, but I think it's new to a lot of people that maybe only have a cowboy church, like, you know,
far from them,
or they're just starting to hear about it. But cowboy church is a non-denominational church. They believe in a triune God. They believe that the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's not a membership, like an affiliation, like some denominations have. It's very, very laid back. Like, definitely no dressing up.
The dress code is come as you are.
Yes.
In your Wranglers.
And they're held, these church meetings are held in non-traditional settings. So, like rodeos.
Okay.
And, yeah, you know, or just some sort of outdoor arena that is conducive.
Do you come on horse if you would like?
Some people do.
Okay.
So the closest, if you were thinking, okay, non-denominational, not really, I still understand. The closest they would affiliate would be a traditional Baptist church, okay, according to some of the stuff I was reading online.
Okay.
But like the music genre for worship is typically country.
Okay.
You know, maybe a little less sort of churchy vernacular because they are seeking to attract a manly man or an outdoorsy person, male or female, that's, you know, just
living the ranch life.
This is maybe like faith might be new to them, or they're just not used to growing up in that more traditional church setting. So Texas claims the concept of cowboy churches, and they say that it originated in the 1940s when a country singer named Carl Stewart Hamblin, inspired by the famous Billy Graham, gave up drinking and gambling, and he then began hosting a radio show called Cowboy Church in the Air. So that was in the 40s. So it took several decades later for there to actually be meetings. So the radio program is what led to church meetings popping up at rodeo arenas across the country. But this is hilarious. You don't know this yet. So the first true stationary cowboy church is reported to be Billy Bob's in Texas, which identifies itself as the world's largest honky-tonk.
Oh my gosh, in Fort Worth.
And we just drove by there in Fort Worth, Texas.
And we looked at maybe going there, but the show was Ted Nugent. And
again, non-conventional types of places these church meetings are happening. So after Jeff Copenhaver preached at the 1985 National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, he was invited by Billy Bob to begin holding regular services in the bar's Fort Worth Rodeo Arena. And based on that, then other people started going, oh, so we could like actually meet. And we could meet like even if we don't have a church building. And so that's how Cowboy Church started.
And that appealed to all of those.
Yeah.
That's and so interesting.
There is an American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches.
Okay.
They count at least 200 churches. But, I mean, I saw other estimates that were up to like 5,000 existing nationwide.
So I don't know how many like governing bodies.
Well, there's one here south of us.
Yep. I think there's at least like six in Middle Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe only like 8 or 9 statewide. I mean, okay. You know, so.
That's so wild.
Yeah. I just think that's so cool, though, marry the lifestyle and faith.
Bring your faith in.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Cowboy church.
I'd visit one. I would love to visit one.
We started to be able to, but our trip to Fort Worth was one day short. So I would have gone in a heartbeat.
For sure.
And I would have wished that
I was amazed how much was happening on Sunday in Fort Worth. Like that we were leaving on Saturday and we were invited to like 3 different things on Sunday.
I know. Well, we make friends easily too. So people wanted us different places.
Well, I love the, just all of the leather that is in that world.
Heck yes.
Too. Like we went in so many shops that you open the door and like that leather smell just smacks you in the face. And I love it so much. Like it's, you just know it's good stuff.
It is genuine
quality leather. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we saw lots of Native American Indian rugs and patterns in the decor and, I just love it all.
Yeah, super quality. Looks because like it has to be, because they actually use what they're, like their cowboy boots get used on horseback, not just on Broadway.
Yeah, so you got to have a saddle that's like, you know, fits you well if you're riding it all the time. It's not like this is a 1 hour a weekend hobby.
Right.
I was even amazed by some of the price tags on saddles and
I mean, you kind of
$5,000, $6,000, $7,000.
Hello. You kind of have to think of it like, well, this is my work car. This is my investment. I don't have an office. This is everything.
This is the office
right here.
This is the, wow.
I work remotely. Yeah. Everywhere on saddle.
Well, there's an American Cowboy Culture Association.
Oh,
well, that's cool. That was interesting. It's an organization based out of Lubbock, Texas. Seeks to promote and preserve the Western history and culture of the late 19th and early 20th century American cowboy.
Well,
founded in 1989.
It needs more preserving. I think it needs a little even more storytelling. Like, I think we need some more, I don't know how that needs to happen. I don't know if there's a movie that needs to come out that's a little more up to date, like kind of modernizing. Because it's still, I mean, there's still cowboys. It's
for not
like
sure.
We're saying, oh, their story's getting lost. Like, I would like to have people
telling the story
included.
Of what's happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, I think there's even like an interesting, I don't know, like here in Nashville, it's been so commercialized, like specifically downtown where our honky tonks are, that it feels like the only true remaining cowboy culture, and I'm talking about like in our very commercialized downtown Nashville area, are just hats, boots. Nobody's even thinking about like what we're talking about, the actual wear and tear and why these even were invented, right? It's more of just the style.
Right. Like I want a cute pink cowboy hat.
Right.
Or like a cute, to wear.
Yeah.
Tonight I'm going to the honky tonk.
Well, yeah, and to
instead of like a long lasting hat to keep the sun off of me while I'm
I don't even know if many places even still have a mechanical bull to ride. I mean, that came from the rodeo culture that is
true.
A sport. But I will say this just real quick: if you are looking for a good look and you're in Nashville at sort of cowboy culture, it does sometimes include dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And we do still have a very, very good dancing spot called the Wild Horse Saloon. It's very family friendly. Like, they do line dancing early enough
in the day.
In the day.
Yeah.
That you could go there with your family. But, you know, sometimes I forget to include that country western dancing is part of this culture as well.
That's very true.
And so,
I think our downtown Nashville, like, it just gets so crazy party scene later in the night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, during the day, it's totally fine. Now, in all throughout Texas, they kind of are more known for dance halls versus true honky-tonk, where it is a little bit more of a dance focus.
For sure, yeah.
With the ball, you know, the dance floor in the center.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, you could almost call the Wild Horse a dance hall.
Yeah.
Because it does have a really substantial dance floor that is the focal point.
Right.
Besides all the horses.
Yeah, it really is kind of more dance hall style. Well, now, one of the most important parts of a cowboy's wardrobe is this hat.
True. Let's focus on the hat for a second. A good cowboy hat.
There's a variety of different things they're made out of, even for different seasons. So we were there in the 106 degree heat. And
yeah, we
a
were.
Lot of them will wear straw hats when it's that hot.
Yeah.
Just because that breathes better. And
that makes
still
sense.
Keeps the sun off. But in the cooler weather, it's not uncommon for them to be made out of beaver or rabbit.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. But apparently those are popular.
Okay.
For hats to be made out of.
Okay.
A lot of times you'll see some added personality to a hat because this is kind of like their thing, right?
Yeah, you got to make it your own somehow.
So, yeah, like with little leather bands or braided leather on there. Sometimes conchos will be on there.
Okay, that's those like silver looking circular silver.
Exactly.
Does it usually have turquoise in the middle?
Sometimes.
Okay.
There again.
Doesn't have to though.
Or it doesn't have to. Sometimes it's just silver. Sometimes there'll be turquoise in those or even just added, in the braid or different kinds of things. Even feathers.
You'll
see feathers sometimes. Cowgirls will sometimes have beads or bling kind of in there. Particularly, I think it's rodeo cowboys even have a little bit more flair and bling.
Okay.
Than
well,
just
they're
a
there for show.
Cowboy,
that
right?
Makes sense.
So they'll have more of the brighter colors, leather chaps.
Okay, yep.
Fringes and sequins and rhinestones for women, like that kind of stuff you'll see. More for a rodeo cowboy.
That makes sense, yes. They're stage clothes.
Exactly. Cowboys often wear suspenders or overalls.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or sometimes just, like, because they got to keep their pants up. Because
they're
working a lot.
True.
So, or just a leather belt.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll just have a belt. Let's talk about the belt buckle.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Belt buckles are sometimes really more of a trophy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's yes.
Like, kind of like that. They're often given in rodeos to the prize winner of a rodeo.
Yep.
So it'll actually have like
the event
rodeo name and all that on there.
That's so fun.
Sometimes people give them as gifts, you know, for some award kind of thing. It's almost like you're kind of wearing your trophy.
Yeah, I like that. There's a lot of like little sayings and things. I found this really, were you done with wardrobe?
Yeah.
I found this really cute book called Cowboy Etiquette.
How cute.
And I thought some of these were right on. So I'm going to read just a few from this. Okay, so one of them says, nowadays a lot of people greet you with, how are you? How are you doing? And that's fine. But a proper cowboy greeting comes from an awareness as to where the sun is in the sky.
Oh.
And it consists of one word. Morning. Afternoon. Evening. That's it. That's their greeting, right?
That's so cute. And you probably just nod back.
That's right. There is etiquette that says always tip your hat to a lady. And they're all ladies.
Aww,
I thought that was cute.
So sweet.
Spurs on the porch are borderline. In the house, that's over the line. So clearly,
scratching things.
Spurs need to stay outside. Yeah, that scratches stuff.
Do we need to talk about what a spur is?
Sure, yeah.
Well, that's that little dangle, like that little metal.
Spiky
that
wheel
like,
kind
is
of thing.
Is on the back of their
boot.
Is on the back of the boot so that they can prod the horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was my favorite, though. If you're on horseback talking to someone and they're on the ground, dismount. It ain't polite to talk down to people.
Oh,
isn't that so fun?
So cute.
So, yeah.
Do you know what the term cowboy up means?
Is that like pony up or man up? Like,
pretty much grin and bear it.
Uh-huh.
Like
okay.
That kind of, yep. You know.
Yeah.
What about cowboy stretch? Do you know what a cowboy stretch is?
I feel like it's what you'd probably do when you got off of a horse, but I don't know.
It is a quick nap in your clothes and shoes.
Oh.
So it's like you're just literally, it's like you're not getting undressed because you might have to jump right back on your
horse.
No, I was imagining like inner thigh stretches because it's been a long ride. So long.
Yeah. I'm sure they have a word for that. Ride the line.
What's that?
Checking the fence to fix any areas that are broken.
Oh, you
gotta ride the line. Mend fences. Cattle aren't getting out.
That's smart.
Anyway, I just like some of those little phrases.
Well, we can't talk about cowboys for almost an entire episode without mentioning cowgirls. Well, and there's some legitimate cowgirls that are fierce. And they really go back to like late 1800s. So we actually did get to go visit the Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame, which is in Fort Worth.
So fun. National Cowgirl Museum.
Yeah. So this museum is so amazing.
Like exceeded all expectations.
I mean amazing both in the content, but even probably more so, what elevated it was the presentation the content. So
high end, high tech.
So Annie Oakley, which she was a famous cowgirl from like she was born in 1860. So 1890s really was when she was kind of at her height. But she in this museum like digitally appears before you as like you're looking through this like kind of black narrow, I don't know how to really describe this well, but you're kind of looking through this like dark hollow spot and it's like she's being projected kind of up
3D.
She's talking to you about like really just what it was like to be a cowgirl amongst an all-male ensemble and like what they ate and what their day was like. And the museum talks about, you know, just kind of what these cowgirls did for talents and tricks they did and just how they went on the road with the Buffalo Bill Wild Wild West show that had them traveling all over the world. You know, it was just, you know, extremely well done. They've got all these different exhibits that come through where the one that's there now shows a lot of the costuming, like the bedazzled, beautiful, like as if you were talking about kind of stage clothes that cowgirls, even modern day cowgirls like Reba McEntire and Miranda Lambert and some of those country singers, what they wear. So it's just, you know, you got to acknowledge that there are cowgirls out there and they work as hard and do all the tricks just as much as a lot of the men do. So,
well, there was a section that I actually just pulled this up on my phone because I thought it was so cool. This is just a picture I took in that museum. It says, cowgirls in the Wild West carved an identity for themselves that allowed them to live in both male and female spheres. They were skilled equestrians or sharpshooters, traveled thousands of miles in a year, were professionally paid athletes, and participated in a very masculine play of the West.
Mm.
Yet, they also adhered to those things that made them acceptable as females. In newspaper accounts of the time, a cowgirl's ability to cook, sew, and clean were often mentioned in the same article as their skills in the arena. There was a deliberate effort made by the media and others to show that Wild West cowgirls were still ladies, as defined by their time. This duality is most easily observed in dress and manner. So it's like they had the best of both.
That is so good. I'm so glad you caught that, all the wording of that.
Yeah, it was like they had the best of both. Amazing women.
Yeah, they were. I can't say it any better than that. So good.
Well, I would love to give away some of these cute books we picked up while we were in Fort Worth. So I've got Cowboy Etiquette and I've got How to Win a Cowboy's Heart Cookbook to give away on Instagram this week. So if you're not already, go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Steel Magnolias Podcast to enter to win those two books that are super cute.
Can we end on with just some funny cowboy wisdom?
Sure.
Okay. There's a few different ones that I think are so stinking cute. Trust everyone, but always cut the cards.
Nice. I like that.
Don't be all hat and no cattle.
I don't know what that means.
That's like you're dressing the part, but you don't do
that's like everybody on Broadway right now in Nashville.
That's right. They're all hat and no cattle. Never squat while wearing spurs. And always drink upstream from the herd.
Oh my gosh. That is, that's wisdom. That's somebody that's enough. Been there, done that, right?
That's probably enough. There's many on here, but that's probably enough.
Well, there's your taste of cowboy and cowgirls for the week. Hope y'all have a great week, and we can't wait to bring some more, probably got a little more Texas culture to share with y'all in the coming week.
Yeah,
so
they have a strong culture. We could do many episodes.
That's right.
Well, peace be with you, Laura Beth.
Thanks, Lainey. And also with y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.